The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Glad you can join us on this Monday afternoon. Very busy day today. Seattle police were invited to a dinner to thank first responders. The Seattle police chief rescinded the invitation at the insistence of neo-Marxist Seattle City Councilwoman Lorena Gonzalez because it was a Christian organization that was sponsoring the dinner. The head of that Christian organization, Franklin Graham, he will join me live at 2:05 this afternoon. I got a lot of stories to share with you from the weekend as well. I went and heard Charlie Kirk speak at a church in Edmonds last night, my wife and I and some friends of ours, and it was, I'm going to share a clip from that speech with you. Charlie Kirk's going to join us on The Big Show tomorrow afternoon. So we have been very busy, and we have a lot of news to get to. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Hey, do we have any parents who have kids at Cherry Crest Elementary School in Bellevue? I would love to hear from you. You can text me at 98973 if you're a parent of a kid at Cherry Crest Elementary School in Bellevue. And my question for you is, how did all the kids at this school get to be such horrible, horrible racists? Well, at least that's what the school is telling everybody. That's what the school is telling the kids. That's what the school is telling the kids' parents. It's what the school is telling society and the world, that the kids at Cherry Crest Elementary School in Bellevue are horrible, horrible racists. And I want to know how this happened. How did what were, I'm sure, kids who were born nice and raised by good families, how did they become such virulent racists, so horrible that the school has to talk the racism right out of them? That's because second graders at Cherry Crest Elementary School end up are going to have explicit conversations about race, equity, and access. They will identify culture and begin to recognize and identify white culture. And white culture is evil. And if there are white kids at the school, you're an oppressor. And now second graders are thinking,
I can't oppress anybody.
No! You are an oppressor, you Cherry Crest second graders. If you're white, you're an oppressor. The school will identify white culture through storytelling, sharing, and conversation. And some national websites have picked up on the screenshots. Of course, this is all part of the critical race theory, which is the most racist thing to be imposed on our society since things back in the 1960s. Critical race theory is happening in our government institutions, in our military, in our second grade classrooms. And this is where everybody is divided into one of two groups. It does not matter you as an individual. It doesn't matter if your parents raised you to be a wonderful human being and you treat everybody with kindness and with respect. Uh-uh. Every child is in one of two groups. You are either an oppressor or you are a victim. There is nothing else. There's no individuality. Kids of color who have exceedingly done well and have friends of multi-races, that's not allowed. You're just next. You're a victim. Kids who don't feel like victims, you're a victim. And it really is one of the most insidious cancers in our society today. So from the second grade curriculum at Cherry Crest, there will be whole school virtual assemblies underscoring themes of identity, culture, and race. They will use time to spotlight connections to achievements school-wide, but only in groups. And then they're going to have student-centered decision-making groups. RE and I, which is where I used to go to buy outdoor gear. But now RE and I is racial equity and inclusion. Or you'll be part of the BLT. Who doesn't love a delicious BLT? But now it means building leadership team. We've even corrupted a great Seattle retailer and a delicious sandwich. Now REI and BLT are used to divide kids and make them feel like either oppressors or victims. And then for fourth and fifth graders, they are going to be part of SOAR, S-O-A-R, Students Organized Against Racism. Hey, kids, if you're organized against racism, get your parents to get rid of the Bellevue School Board and the teachers who buy into this nonsense, because this is the most racist thing you will ever be exposed to as a kid. They will have school-wide learning and strategies for being anti-racist. So again, that gets me back to my original question. How did these little second-grade kids in Bellevue become such racists? And we did call the school. I tried to get a principal or an administrator on, and I was just simply going to ask that question. How did the kids at an elementary school in Bellevue become such racists that you have to obsess over race in your curriculum? And of course, the answer is that they're not. These are good families and good parents who have raised their kids right and who truly believe in some form of, maybe they believe in individuality and in individual character, that who you are, the way you personally treat other people, defines your character, because that is not the message in the schools. And it is horrible. It is a cancer. And honestly, if parents don't do something about this, if you don't get rid of the school board, if you don't ban this critical race theory nonsense, like many states have done, Florida being the most recent. In Florida, where their governor, Ron DeSantis, man, he's the man. And Ron DeSantis down in Florida, he explained why they got rid of critical race theory in their schools there.
Well, it's a bunch of horse manure. I mean, give me a break. This country has had more opportunity for more people than any country in the history of the world. And it doesn't matter where you trace your ancestry from. We've had people that have been able to succeed and all. And here's the problem with things like critical race theory that they're peddling. They're basically saying all our institutions are bankrupt. And they're illegitimate. Okay, so how do you have a society if everything in your society is illegitimate? So it's a very harmful ideology, and I would say really a race-based version of a Marxist-type ideology. So we've banned it in our schools here in Florida. We're not going to put any taxpayer dollars to critical race theory, and we want to treat people as individuals, not as members of groups.
Hey, Jay Inslee, you want to get some lessons on leadership? Listen to Ron DeSantis. I have at my elbow, as I do this radio show every day, a framed and autographed photo that I cherish. It's the reason why it's right in the center section of my desk. It's a group of kids, and people get sick of me talking about my coaching days, but it's such a huge part of how, you know, my life has been shaped. It's a group of kids that won the Washington State Championship 5 years ago. I'm looking at the picture right now. I have it in my hand. Four of the kids are black, one Asian, and five Caucasian. And these kids didn't grow up with critical race theory. They didn't grow up to try to get the black kids to hate the white kids or the white kids to feel guilty. And what we had was a very diverse group of kids who had a shared mission, a shared goal. There's absolutely nothing about dividing us. In fact, everything we did was around team building and team before self. And yes, we allowed individuals to thrive. But I've talked often. My favorite saying that applies to coaching is from Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. The strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf. That if everybody brings their individual strength, of course the group will be stronger. And if the group unifies and lifts up everyone within that group, then of course the individuals will be stronger. But that's not what's being taught in their schools today. Schools are being taught that a bunch of the kids are the predators and a bunch of the kids are the prey. And it's horrible. And again, parents, you got to stop allowing this. Down in Texas last week, there was a school board meeting, and the parents were complaining about critical race theory. And the school board members were so upset that you're questioning what we're doing, they stood up and they walked out on the parents. They walked out of the room. They walked out of the meeting. Well, one of the parents knew a lot about how these meetings were legally organized. And using Robert's Rules of Order, the parents simply took over the school board. School board all walked out of the meeting, and there was some point of order where they were able to cancel, fire all those school board members and parents who actually care about and love children, as opposed to these predators, these leeches who have gotten into the schools to try to divide all of us. And so it's time to start getting your kids back and your school back and your society back. Many states have banned this critical race theory, which Ron DeSantis calls a bunch of manure. And he's right. It's shocking to me. I know this is happening. You know, Cherry Crest Elementary in Bellevue is one of hundreds of schools peddling this nonsense. But if I was a parent and I had a teacher and administration and a school board that called my kid a racist when I've raised my kids to be loving towards all, I'd go berserk. And I don't know why more parents don't. You know, sacrificing your kids for your wokeness isn't love. It's not caring. It's not being sensitive. It's just being a lousy parent. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
And then there's another local school. Jason Rance has this story up at mynorthwest.com. There's a local high school, Chimicum Junior and Senior High, near Port Townsend. Like many schools, kids have to have community service hours to graduate. 55 hours of community service. We can argue whether community service hours are a good or bad thing, but the reality is kids find out about it in their freshman year, and it works out to about 14 hours a year, which is less than 30 minutes a week. And it's, like I said, I have mixed feelings about it, but it's the rule. Well, at Chimicum High School, they are offering students 25 community service hours if they get vaccinated against COVID. So instead of putting in those 25 hours the way it's designed to be a citizen that can think beyond the tip of your nose and helps out organizations that you find worthwhile in your community, You can just get half, almost half of your hours by just having somebody put a shot in your arm. Even though the vaccine is, I think, useless for 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, it's also lazy, allowing them to, instead of doing community service, I'll just take 15 minutes and go get a shot. But here's the other thing. It's also very coercive by the government. Once again, why are they so eager to get the shots in the arms of kids who suffer no downside when they get COVID? And I know why. Because according to Andrew Cuomo,
who are the groups who are targeting on the vaccination? Youthful and the doubtful. And there is an attitude that they'll be fine. Why should they take the vaccine? Maybe you will get a long haul syndrome that we're not really sure what it is yet, but a lingering consequence of COVID. Or maybe you go home and kiss your grandmother and wind up killing your grandmother.
Wow. Coming from a man whose decision killed 9,000 elderly in his state when he mandated that COVID patients go into nursing homes, for Andrew Cuomo, who killed 9,000 people, to tell children, get a vaccine so you don't kill grandma. That is a shocking lack of self-awareness on his part. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I have a listener who went to get vaccinated this weekend. He did not end up getting it, and security almost kicked him out for a very interesting reason. He's going to share his story with you and with me next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as all of our public figures tell us that we must get vaccinated, a local guy out in Linwood, he tried to do so this weekend, but there seemed to be a little snag. Let me welcome to the show John Doe, if that is your real name. It's not your real name, is it, John?
It's not my real name, I confess.
Okay, but so walk me through this. So why are you John Doe for the purposes of this conversation?
Well, there are a whole bunch of people who are really happy to get this vaccine, and there are a bunch of people who are not. You know, my ballpark guess is about 30% of the people out there are, for some reason or another, saying, I'm not so sure I want to get this jab. You know, some of them are worried about possible health effects from the jab.
Right.
And I'm not one of those people. I think the odds of me getting some kind of vaccine-related injury from this thing are about 1 in 1,000,000. I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
But here's what I am worried about. You know how in China they have this social credit score thing? And I'm worried that they're building a database. And you're either in this vaccine system or you're not. And the database could be used to create either a vaccine passport, mm-hmm. or it could be built up into something that creeps along slowly by adding a little bit of data here and a little bit of data there to being a kind of a social credit score system like they have in China.
Yeah, it's really interesting you bring that up, because I was just reading about social credit scores and how they are coming to America, and it's going to depend on your political ideology, if you're woke, but here's the thing, John. The vaccine would only be a good thing because they're telling everybody that they must get a vaccine. So that would help your social credit score, wouldn't it?
It would help your social credit score. And if you're one of the people who resists it for any, you know, moral reason, perhaps, or for me, I have a kind of a civil rights reason to object, then that would ding your credit score.
So tell me what happened. So you went to a vaccination site this weekend up in Snohomish County.
Yeah.
I understand you booked under the name John Doe. So what happened when you got there?
Well, I'm not the kind of person who lies. I had to fill out an appointment form online to get an appointment.
Okay.
But the first thing I said was, I have to fess up with you. My real name is not John Doe, but if you see John Doe from 123 Main Street, you kind of know what's up. I'm not trying to deceive anybody. Nobody would be deceived by that. And I said, here's my issue. You have a lot of sensitive people. Sometimes they're sensitive because they're afraid of getting poked. Sometimes they're sensitive because they don't want people to see them. There are all sorts of reasons to be sensitive. My particular sensitivity is I'm concerned about my privacy, and I'm concerned about my civil rights, and I'm concerned about not putting my consent on a social credit score system or a big database that I don't know where that's going to be shared, and I don't know what bad person might come to power in the distant future who might misuse this system. So the optics are, for the public, if you refuse to give people shots anonymously, then what you're implicitly saying is that you care more about building this database than you do about public health. Because here I am, I've got an arm, and I'm willing to be vaccinated. I'm willing to increase the number of people in the populace who are vaccinated. And then other people who might be like you are saying it's racist to demand ID to vote. Well, if it's racist to demand ID to vote, isn't it also racist to demand ID to get vaccinated?
Okay, those are all interesting points. I guess in trying to combat them, I would say that we have really strong medical privacy HIPAA laws. And you believe that the state of Washington, the State Department of Health, and Jay Inslee and Dow Constein and Bob Ferguson, that they would violate HIPAA regulations for some other nefarious purposes to have you in a database?
Well, I don't perceive HIPAA laws as being good security. First of all, the government systems are hacked all the time. I think the private corporation probably have better security on average, better systems on average than the government does. There, in Washington State, we recently had the Employment Security Office get hacked.
Sure.
And so why should we assume that their system is good at all? But then the other thing I was talking about was the HIPAA system is Orwellian. It says patient privacy, but if you actually read it, what it does is it gives the government permission to share your data. They couch it in terms that it's researchers. But what Edward Snowden tells us is that there's a database on all of us.
Yeah.
And all of this, how do we know that this HIPAA system is not searchable by anyone in the political realm? And that's chilling.
And here's the thing. Anybody who might say that you sound paranoid or extremist with your view, this is exactly the reason why I don't ever want a transponder in my car so our state government is monitoring not only how many miles I drive, but where I drive and when. I think that there is a tremendous privacy issue with this plan that is well down the road right now and that is going to be mandated. And, I'm going to have to figure out how to do an end run against that because I'm not going to let government start tracking me. And I think that, I think we've very slowly gotten complacent and we're used to talking about British Airways in our living room. And all of a sudden a British Air ad pops up on our computer screen because Alexa is listening to us. I think that people need to be vigilant. So I don't think you're crazy at all by having these concerns about civil liberties and privacy. That's something we should all be protecting very jealously right now.
Thank you. I'm totally on your side. The Fourth Amendment is an important thing. And they've sort of tried to erect an artificial wall between the corporations and the government. And what they're saying is, we're not violating the Fourth Amendment because Google's keeping our data. We're not violating the Fourth Amendment because HIPAA laws prevent the government from looking at it. Well, it's a paper wall, and I don't believe that it's not breached. And I think we're very, very wise to be jealous of our civil liberties. And not because I think this is fascism now. It's not fascism. The merger of state and corporate power was Mussolini's definition for fascism. And I don't think we're there now, but Is this a little step in the direction of fascism? Yes, I think it is.
Well, and you made a devastatingly effective point when you said you were there to get a vaccine, which they tell us you have to get, and yet getting your name in the database was more important. So they just wouldn't give you the vaccine. They had to send you away?
As a matter of fact, I was arguing with them calmly and rationally. I didn't say anything more inflammatory than I just said to you now. And a scary fella came up to me and said, you can either leave the easy way or we're going to call security. And this was his first request for me to leave. This was the way he posed his first request for me to leave. And so I immediately left.
Just the way he phrased it, sounds like his last job was at Binion's in downtown Vegas in the 1960s.
Well, I hate to be prejudiced, but he really looked like a union thug to me.
Oh, man. Well, this is a very interesting story. I'm really glad you brought it to our attention, and I'll see what my listeners think about it, John.
I'm a huge fan of your show, and thanks for all you do, man.
John, thank you very much. It means a lot. And what's the bottom line? Are you ever going to get a vaccine?
Well, are we still recording?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm embarrassed to say that my wife is insisting on it.
Okay.
She has the real power in the family. You know, we talk about power corrupting. I hope this power hasn't corrupted my wife. But yeah, she's much more afraid of the virus than I am. And we got to go visit the mother-in-law. And she gives me this guilt trip about how, even though they're vaccinated, right? Mom-in-law's vaccinated. My wife are vaccinated. If I don't get vaccinated, I'm risking killing them.
So wait, you're going to give up your privacy and your security because your wife says you have to?
So, you know, whose power is really important here, right? The president's power or my wife's power?
That's great.
Man's got to live, right?
Yes, you know, and happy wife, happy life.
These are the things we do to preserve our marriage. We violate our very principles.
Oh, that is funny. All right. Well, John, it's really good talk with you. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thanks, Dory.
You bet. All right. That's John Doe in Linwood. Okay. Let me know what you think. Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, with all the craziness that is sweeping our country, we're buying into it here in Washington for reasons I'll never understand. But we talked in the big lead about critical race theory and what a poisonous, racist thing it is to impose on our children. Many states are banning critical race theory in the schools. In Florida, they are taking on another issue that I'm certainly passionate about, and that is allowing biological boys to participate in girls' sports. It just is not fair. And we've seen examples in Connecticut where a couple of biological boys shattered the girls' state track and field records. And there is a huge physiological advantage for biological boys. Down in Florida, Ron DeSantis, the governor there, he explained why he just signed a bill that prevents trans girls from participating in high school girls' sports. Oh, Ron DeSantis.
Oh, yeah, we're going to protect our girls. I have a 4-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old daughter, and they're both very athletic, and we want to have opportunities for our girls. They deserve an even playing field, and that's what we're doing with what Mississippi did, with what Florida did, and I know what other states are going to do, so I look forward to be able to sign that into law.
And yeah, here's the thing. I know high school girls basketball the best. Boys in high school, they play the game above the rim. I mean, usually the shortest guy on the boys' basketball team can touch the rim. A bunch of them can dunk. And girls cannot touch the rim. You know, even the tallest, most athletic girls in most cases. Rare exceptions. There are just physiological differences. Now, this was interesting. Caitlyn Jenner, who's going to run for governor in California, she says. Caitlyn Jenner, when Caitlyn was Bruce Jenner, Bruce Jenner was declared the greatest athlete in the world, which is the honor that's assigned to the Olympic decathlon champion. So yesterday, TMZ hit up Caitlyn Jenner and asked what she thinks about biological boys competing in girls' sports.
Hi, Caitlyn. So there's legislation in various states to ban biological boys or trans from playing girls' sports in school. What's your opinion on that?
She's getting a dog in the car there.
This
that she answered.
Is a question of fairness. That's why I oppose biological boys who are trans competing in girl sports in school. It just isn't fair. And we have to protect girl sports in our school.
But if someone transitions and now identifies as a girl, isn't it delegitimizing their identity to prevent
them? Have a good day.
Okay, and then she gave her answer. And, of course, if anybody knows what a ridiculously strong physical advantage it would be, it'd be Caitlyn Jenner. Can you imagine if Caitlyn Jenner had transitioned? When did Bruce win the goal? I think it was the 76 Montreal Games. So how long ago was that? 45 years ago. Wow. 45 years. Doesn't seem that long ago. But if Caitlin had transitioned before the Montreal Olympics and competed in the women's heptathlon, I mean, she would have destroyed every record that had ever been set by biological women in almost every single event. Throwing, running, jumping. Men are biologically faster, stronger, higher than biological women and girls. And so there's Caitlyn Jenner saying that she would not allow trans girls to compete in girls' sports in California if Caitlyn becomes governor. Well, of course, the left has just gone berserk since Caitlyn Jenner said that yesterday in the trans community. You're a traitor! Traitor! Joe Biden was speaking earlier today. You know, the media was just always fascinated with calling out Trump's lies. Joe Biden has been repeating a lie over and over and over again about his massive tax hike. Biggest tax hike since 1973 is what he's proposed. And he keeps saying this lie, and the media keeps letting him get away with it.
0.3% of the top 1%.
Should I save this for the Fast 15, Andrew?
Probably should. We're getting close to the end here.
Okay. I'm going to say I don't want to shortchange it. So we'll give you some Joe. We'll cover all the local news and update on the chocolate shop that refused service to the cops in Seattle. Fast 15 next here on the Dory Monson Show.